All right, turning the Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms. We'll try to preach a short message this morning out of Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Real familiar passage. A lot of people know this by heart. They've memorized it. Psalm 23, a Psalm of David. All right, let's read just six verses in here. Let's read the six verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Word of God we can go to and be edified, stirred up, serve thee, we learn things from it to help us in our daily lives. I pray, Father, that you'd good morning, heaven to preach it. Father, I know I can't do it without thee. I pray, Father, that you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. Help me to say the right things at the right time, Lord. Bless your word, Lord. I pray it wouldn't return void, but it would establish that which you please, wherever it goes, and whoever hears it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Psalm 23. Now, of course, David is historically speaking about his relationship with the Lord here, but this pictures the relationship of the Christian that got in the right fold. And like I said before, it's one of the most well-known passages of Scriptures in the Bible. There's a lot of portions of Scripture that people, you know, lost or saved, you know, like they read. One of them is Sermon on the Mount. I've been dealing back and forth with this fellow for a good while, several years back and forth. He's a heretic, a lost heretic of the worst sort that goes by the Eurasian book, but which is a demonic book that people, some kind of alien supposed to come down, you know. But anyway, he believes this book here. He believes the Sermon on the Mount. At least parts of it, the parts that suits him, you know, about forgiving everybody, loving your neighbor, the fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man. But anyway, he knows this one, see. He don't have anything to do with Pauline epistles and the atonement doctrine. He don't believe in the blood atonement. Of course, he's lost and he's going to hell. And I prayed for him and I've witnessed to him and rejected him about three times. The Bible says first and second admonition reject. But anyway, I guess that's the reason it said first and second, because you really can't do much with somebody like that. But anyway, some other other passages of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 13, you know, a lot of people love the love chapter, the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, and then here in Psalm 23. The reason most people like them is there's nothing in these particular passages about being saved, seeing yourself a lost sinner, and receiving Jesus Christ. A lot of that stuff is it's in the Bible. It's humanistic as far as living right or you know, being a pretty good fellow, you know. A lot of things in there, but there's portions of Scripture though that's plainly to show yourself, show that you're lost, without hope, dead in trespass and sin, and got a spirit of disobedience, and you're going to hell. A lot of passages in there about that. People don't like those passages. That is, unless you're saved. Once you get saved, those passages have no bearing whatsoever on us. Because if we die, we're not going to hell, we're going to heaven. absent the body, present with the Lord. So, I don't, like I say, a lot of people like these other passages, but we're going to try to preach a message this morning on Psalm 23, and maybe give you a few things about it. I know a lot of preachers preached on this message. I've visited a church for a good while one time, and the preacher preached for, I believe it's 6 Sundays on Psalm 23. I'm just going to get it all in one sermon. Okay, the placement of this psalm is kind of strange. The reason I say strange is because no Orthodox Jew back then believed in a premillennial order of a system. That is a system the way we as Bible believing Baptists can see it plainly in the Bible now, how that God dealt with different people at different times, dealt with the Jews in the Old Testament, and then here in the New Testament, there's going soon coming up, it's going to be a rapture, and then there's going to be 7 years of tribulation, or however how many years there's going to be, a lot of difference on that. But no Christian is going to go through the tribulation, that's plain. And then you got a 1,000-year reign on this earth, where we'll be with the Lord, and if we suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him. We'll be with Him, though. It says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. We might not reign. That's according to how you, what you do here on this earth for the Lord. Now, here in this particular, these Psalms here, 22, 23, and 24, something I want to show you. Psalm 22 deals with the crucifixion. Look at 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Verse 1. It says, I am a worm. Verse 6. All they that see me shall laugh me to scorn and shoot out the lip. He trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him. See, they said the same thing at the cross. I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. That's a cross. That's where you die on the cross. You're hanging there. My heart is like wax melted in the midst of my bowels. And so on. They parted my garments. Verse 18. That's crucifixion. Verse 23 then, like I said, deals with the relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the individual saint, after the resurrection. Now notice that scene. You got the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you got the church age which we're in now. And then, Psalm 24, the very next psalm, look in verse 7, lift up your heads, lift up your everlasting doors, the King of Glory. Jesus Christ is called the King, but He's not the King yet. When's He going to be the King? He'll be the King during the 1,000-year reign. Verse 8, who is the King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Armageddon, coming back in Armageddon. Going to come down and mash the troops of the Antichrist and then set up a 1,000-year military dictatorship. And we'll be here with Him. Verse 10. Well, verse 9 too. I'm talking about the King of Glory. Who is the King of Glory? Verse 10. The Lord of Hosts. He is the King of Glory. Jesus is coming. And we're coming with Him in the army. On horses. Revelation 19. Alright. That's something right there that I've seen. Hadn't never seen before. And that's a blessing. Now he's thinking about all the great saints in the Old Testament who were shepherds. You got Abel, he was a shepherd, type of Christ. Abraham, he's a shepherd, type of God, the Father in Christ. Isaac was a shepherd. Jacob was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. Joseph was a shepherd. And Joseph was one of the greatest types of Antichrist in the entire Bible. Brother Upman said 152 particulars. I hadn't got them down and tried to count them. But that's what he says. You want to count them, go ahead. David, of course, he was one of the greatest types of Christ in the Old Testament. And he was up in his upbringing and everything. And by trade, he was a shepherd. Okay, my first point. My first point I want you to notice is the personal wording of the verse, in verse 1. The Lord is not our shepherd. It says the Lord is my shepherd. There's a big difference when you get to know the shepherd. You know the shepherd. You have a personal relationship with the shepherd. I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about any particular church. I'm talking about the shepherd, the one that died on the cross. Jesus Christ said, I am the good shepherd. What you need is a good shepherd. There's a church that professes to be the church. It's always called in the newspaper, the church. It's never called the Roman Catholic Church like it should be called. It's like the church, like the only one that's real in the newspaper. Of course, all the newspapers are pro-Roman Catholic anyway. But anyway, Jack Chick put out a book one time, a comic book, called Sabotage. And it just tore people up, you know, that's in that particular Roman Catholic Church, because it tells the story about them and tells them exactly what they've done with the Word of God, and tells them how all the things that the Roman Catholic Church does is wrong, and the people in the church just blew up about it. And of course, that's what happens. Bit dog hollers. You kick something, and you'll find out about whether how they made what they made at. Of course, you could join that church. You can join any church all you want. Then go to any church, go every service, go all the Sunday school classes, be a teacher in the Sunday school, be a preacher in the church, and die and go to hell if you trusted in the church to save you. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. Salvation is not in any church. If you're saved, you know that. If you don't know that, you're not saved. You need to get saved, because you trust in the wrong thing. And Jesus Christ don't know you. The Bible says in John 10:27, says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Not some pagan religion that professes to be the one true apostolic church. It says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Jesus Christ knows you if you're saved. If you're not saved, he don't know you. One of these days, he's going to say, depart from me, you cursed and everlasting fire. And say, I never knew you. We're in the right flock. That's what we want to be. We have the right shepherd, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Also called the bishop of our soul. The bishop of our soul. They might kill us. They can, the Pope, Bloody Mary killed, burned Christians at the stake. I'm talking about Bible-believing Christians at the stake. Especially if they try to use the Word of God and believe what the Word of God said. And not wasn't a member of their church. And didn't go to that bloody mass, or unbloody mass, rather. He burned them at the stake. She did. All through church history, that's what happened. And it might be coming back again before we get out of here. I hope it don't, but it's possible that it will. Now, they can kill us. They burnt those people at stake. They've done that. The problem is, what they done when they died, they went to heaven. When she died, she's like the rich man. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Like I said, our bishop's the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:25 says, for you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. I know who my bishop is. Do you? My bishop's the Lord Jesus Christ, bishop of my soul. One time at a dinner table, kind of an introduction, you know, they got this famous actor to recite Psalm 23. And then when the dinner was over, somebody asked another elderly preacher that was there, you know, to recite it too, as in, just to see the difference. Well, there was a difference, all right. Whenever that old preacher recited Psalm 23, when the actor recited it, everybody applauded. But when the old preacher got through reciting it, it was quiet. It's thinking. When he got through with the dinner and everything, the movie actor going out the door said to the old preacher, said, what power of delivery do you have that you can move these people like that? And I can't. The preacher smiled and said, well, sir, you know the psalm, but I know the shepherd. That's the difference. One feller knew it by memory, the other feller knew it by heart. Psalm 23, Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? He ain't your shepherd. You better find the shepherd. If you don't, you're in trouble. You can die any time. You know that, don't you? All right, the next part of that verse says, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. A little boy one time was reciting that psalm, and he said, Lord is my shepherd, I got all I want. Well, you know, really, that's the way we are. We should be. The trouble is, we always seeing things, other things that we want instead of what we got. Wanting something. That's the way Gentiles are. You got Jew, Gentile in the church, you know. I'm talking Japheth, really. White people, Europeans, they always want something. Always want something. And you have to, if you ain't, you know, they're getting debt over their head just because they're wanting to see something. And TV, that's all it's for, is to make you want something you don't have. And get people in debt. But the Lord my shepherd, I shall not want. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He'll supply our needs. And you know what? I'm 60 years old now, and I notice he supplied a lot of my wants too, along with my needs. I certainly don't deserve the wants that I got, but he gave them to me. And I thank him for it. You thank him for what you got? You ought to. Alright, next thing. Now what does it do? Well, it maketh me to lie down in green pastures. There's food. The Bible says, having food and raiment, let's be therewith content. You know, a sheep can find food, you know, where no other animal can find it. They'll pick the ground dry. You know, you wouldn't think there's a blade of grass left whenever they got through the field. That's the reason all them cowboy movies, you know, years ago, I used to watch them. I loved them cowboy movies. And all them cowboy movies was, you know, the sheep herders was the bad guys and the cattlemen was the good guys. And they was going in there, you know, letting them sheep out on the range, and what they were doing is eating all the grass. That's what they'll do. God can give you the substance and nourishment you want, you know. And all unsaved people just can't, they're just a barren, they don't have nothing. They can't get nothing sometimes. I mean, they have a lot of material things a lot of times because that's all they're living for. God's people in the Old Testament had got fed for 40 years. And in the New Testament, Jesus Christ managed to dish up a meal for 5,000 of them. 5,000 people he fed. It says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Our beds are table. The sheep lies down on his bed. Lies down where it eats. You know what our food and substance is? He answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If you're a human being, you're told to live off what God said. A sheep knows that. He not only feeds on the Word of God, he rests on the Word of God. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. There's a song, and I'm going to hazard a... I usually run off ever how many people starts coming here, you know. I usually run them off after too long. And it seems, I asked the fellow one time, what do you think's wrong? And you think it's my singing or my preaching, you know, reason people won't stay very long here? Well, he said, as honest as he could be, he said both. So I'm going to have you try to sing a song here a little bit and try to. A song on page 290 on this hymnal here we got. It says, Be still my soul. Be still my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain. A lot of truth in those words right there. The Lord will take care of you. Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Our room is our board, and our board's our room. Alright, next thing. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Still waters. Not turbulent waters. Still waters. Sometimes we might have to go through some turbulent waters. But when we do, He'll be right there with us. The shepherd always stays right close to the sheep. He'll be with the sheep. And help us grow as a Christian. Any time you're going through any kind of problems on this earth, the Lord is helping you to grow. I know we don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Trouble. I'm lazy and I don't like to go through nothing. I like a peace, like nice and peaceful, everything going along smooth. A lot of times it don't. And we have to go through things. And death and sickness and troubles, all kind of things. But the Lord's with us. And I got another song here. I'm going to sing this. And I ain't going to sing no more this time, but I'm going to sing this one right here. I like old Lester Roloff. He always sung this song right here, and I always liked the way he sang. And I got it, one of his tapes like this, and he's singing. Going along with He leadeth me beside still waters. In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Where the water's cool flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads His dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. He'll lead you through the waters. He'll help you. He maketh me to lie down beside still waters. You know, when I was a kid, we'd all get out there playing around, you know, in the grass, out there in the field and everything. I'd be real playing around, get tired, you know, and just lay down. And just seem like you just sink up in that grass And it just peace seemed like it just comes over you. And that's kind of like the way the Lord does whenever you He takes care of you, then He puts you to rest where you can He can I don't know how to explain it. It's just kind of like peace comes over you. That's all you can say. And that's a complete rest. Especially if it's beside waters. You know. All right, the next thing. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. I'm not to hurry. Do you know your soul was tied to a dead body till you're saved? It was. It was tied to a dead body. Couldn't get up. Couldn't get out. Couldn't move around. Stuck in sin because your body was sin. According to Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, you was cut loose from the body. I'm not going to go into all that stuff there, but about that spiritual circumcision. But when you're saved, that's what happened. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, cut loose your soul from your body. And that's what happened. One of the things that happens to you when you get saved. That's the reason you can't go to hell. Your sins are not accounted to you because the sin's on the body. This body's going to die. This body's not saved yet. It won't be saved either till the rapture. But that soul and spirit's saved. You'll go up in the rapture. If you die, the spirit and soul will leave that body. And then the body will be saved when the rapture comes. When the Lord comes back and gets His people, the people bodies, and put them back together, and you get a glorified body. Next thing, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, what does that mean? Well, sometimes the Lord makes us do right for His own sake. See? God knows it's a benefit and a blessing to us, and it's profitable to us whenever we to making us do right, and then it's also for Him. It's a good testimony from the Lord. We ought to do right without having been made to. See, sometimes we don't, but you ought to do right. You know, the only thing you have on this earth that's any count is your testimony. Everything else is going to die. When you die, everything else is going to go. Any lands and money and anything like that that you have is going to you ain't taking nothing with you. Kids are going to fight over it, and other people are going to get it somehow or another. The tax is going to take it. Something's going to get it. But your testimony is going to go with you. Your testimony is your most important commodity. You better think about that. But watch your testimony. Your personal relationship with the Lord is the most important thing that you've got. That'll coincide with your testimony. Alright, let's go on to the next one. verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Strange thing, when you actually analyze a thing, look at it carefully. It says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Did you know you're not going to see death? There's a being called death, according to the Bible. But you're not going to see him. You just see his shadow. Jesus said, if a man keep my saying, he won't see death. When death comes to you or me, then you just go through the valley of the shadow of death. You ain't going to meet the man, the person there, whatever he is, that's called death. That's the one that has the power of death. That's Hebrews 2:14. The Christian is just going to see the shadow. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Just think what happens when a lost man dies. And he sees a being come and get him. Death comes. I don't know what it looks like. I don't want to know what it looks like. But he's coming to everybody, especially not a Christian, just see the shadow. If you're out there and you're lost, you're going to meet that fellow face to face. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. Or you're going to drag you to hell. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And you probably heard this illustration before, but one time a little boy was punished by his mother at the dinner table for acting up. She told him, go over and sit in the corner and eat your food in the corner. So he went over and sat down, faced the wall, you know, and started to eat. She said, don't forget to ask the blessing before you start eating. So he stuck his lip out, you know, and was mad, and he said, Dear Lord, bless this food you prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. I like that little story. That's what he does. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. What does that mean? What does that mean? He says, while the enemies is after you, he's going to feed you and let them starve. See? We'll take care of it. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. David's rejoicing in God's goodness. He's tired of pitching a tent, moving place to place. So finally in verse 6 says, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, my sheep hear my voice. They won't follow the voice of a stranger. I'm not going to give you that illustration. Well, I'm not going to give it to you. I know you probably heard it anyway. I've heard it a bunch of times before. I'm going to use it anyway. Talking about the voice of a stranger, you know, my sheep hear my voice. The voice of a shepherd over there in Israel, in that area, they say, when a man gets up there and he calls his sheep, the sheep hears his voice and they know him. And they know that voice. And they'll come and do whatever he wants them to do. But some of my strangers go in there, and they said it was tried one time. Some I said he'd been sitting with that fella, and he heard him, and he thought he could say the words just like he said them. And he'd get the sheep to come to him. So he tried it. Now all of them looked up whenever he hollered for them, and then went right back down to eating. When the shepherd called, they all came. That's what's going to happen to us one of these days. You know the shepherd's going to call? You know what he's going to say? Come up hither. Tommy, come up hither. I'll be gone. Put your name right there. Come up hither. We'll be out of here. Oh, I tell you right now, I'm ready. Let's get out of here. I can see things coming through this one world government setup. I tell you, it's going to be rough. And tell you the truth, I'm afraid. I'm scared. It's going to be rough. There's going to be some persecution, like it was persecution back in the Dark Ages when the Roman Catholic Church had control. You know who's going to be head of this United Nations before it's over with, don't you? It's going to be some kind of a pope. Called the Antichrist. Do you know every single of the reformers called the Pope by one name? You know what that name was? Antichrist. That's right. I don't know why they done that. It's coming. Alright. I'm about through. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. You ready? Are you going to be in Jerusalem with me? I'm going there. Whether you go or not, I'm going to be there. I'm saved. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Say how to do it. It's simple. God didn't go through all that terrible pain and suffering just to make it hard for you. He made it easy for you. He took your sin for you. He took your punishment for you, the punishment of hell for you, while He was on that cross. And went down, dumped the sins off, and went back up, come back up 3 days later. That's what's wrong with that film, The Passion of Christ, that guy made. I forgot his name now. But anyway, that's what's the matter. It's a death and a suffering, but that's all. There's no resurrection, no gospel there, see. The Word of God is not... it don't tell you how to be saved after you see all that. Now, you probably see what he went through all in that film, but it ain't gonna. That there's no way to get saved by watching that film, unless you already know how. And then you might could. I'm saying that he can't. But it's the Word of God that you got to go by, not what some body out there in Hollywood says, or somebody out there, some actor gets up there and portrays stuff. That's not it. It's the Word of God that does the work. Being born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible. By the movie? No. By the Word of God. Small WORD. The Word of God is what does it. You better get in the Word of God. Trust Jesus. That thou shalt. Put your name right there. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. Not just in your head, in your heart. Believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. But with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can you call on Him? Ask Him to save you. That's all you have to do. Sincerely ask Him to save you. If you believe it, and you believe it, He died for you personally, and you ask Him to save you, I guarantee you, He'll save you. No question about it. God's Word says He'll save you. Ask Him. Ask Him the best way you know how. Father, thank You, Lord, for helping me through this message. Lord, I pray, Father, that You bless this message. Somehow, some way, Lord, I pray somebody gets saved because of this message. And I just thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do. I know I can't do anything without Thee, Lord. It's up to You, Lord. I pray, Father, that You bless it. I pray it would return void, but it would establish that which You please. Take Your Word and use it for Your honor and Your glory. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.